Kathleen Kennedy's gonna get me.
She's gonna get you.
She's gonna get me. I feel the minutes countdown on the clock again. Feel like I'm playing in a game that I can never win. Time is running out, I know I gotta make a choice. So many whispers in my ear that I can't hear my voice. Tell me, will it end the situation that I'm in? Or am I bound to sit alone, drowning in my sin? Get right or get left, what will it be? Time is running out, the blood is flowing down the streets. People need to know we're living in a war zone. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Loot Bros Podcast. I'm your host, Resident Daryl, and on this episode, I'm joined by my good friend, Dan Evans from the Godfo Universe. We're going to just drop this episode, starting off with the crazy. We were just riffing and rolling and having fun conversation for a large amount of time before we even really get into the show, and rather than cut it up and chop it and spit it up and what have you, I'm just going to drop the whole show in its entirety, how we recorded it. Right here for you guys, but I did want to do an official intro in the event that, A, you're like, what happened? What is going on? Why are they just jumping in normal conversation as soon as the music stops? Or if this is your first time listening to the Loot Bros Podcast, this is where me and my friends get together, my friends and I, and we come together to talk about video games. We laugh, we cut up. In this episode, we talk about everything across the spectrum, from video games to comic books to movies to the South Park Panderverse. And we have a lot of laughs. Thank you, Dan, for coming on here and just having a blast with me. And I hope that things will work itself out to where we get more Dan in the future. He and I always have a blast coming together and just laughing and riffing off of each other. So with that being said, guys, this is the Loot Bros Podcast. Before I get too carried away, thank you all to the listeners. Thank you guys so much for coming back each and every week. Thank you guys to have gone and subscribed to the Resident Daryl YouTube channel. If you haven't, please take a moment. Go subscribe to the Resident Daryl YouTube channel. We are over 500 now. We're closer to 1,000 than we were. Wait, we're closer to 1,000 than we are farther away. There's a saying there. Either way, guys, go check it out. We're getting closer and closer to 1,000. We are filming our 500 subscriber episode update right now, where we do, you know, the kind of the update on the Kinect Adventures Crusade. So we hope you guys dig it. I hope you guys enjoy it. If you haven't followed us, if you don't know what the Resident Daryl YouTube channel is where me and my kids get together. We go hunt video games, build a collection, flip some for a profit to keep on hunting. And in the meantime, we are collecting every copy of Kinect Adventures that we come across within reason. I got to put that out there, within reason, because sometimes people just don't understand what that game is. And when we get to 1,000 subscribers, we're going to destroy them all. We got a really fun video planned for that one. So I hope you guys enjoy it. With that being said, I'm going to drop you right into the nonsense. Here goes myself, Dan Evans. I hope you enjoy it. Toasty!
Yeah, I think The Rock will say just about anything at any time in front of any person. And I say that as a guy who loved Black Adam. I thought it was the best like comic book movie of the past 3 years. But now I'm with you. Like I think he just says whatever.
It's so funny, man, because as a diehard Rock fan from, you know, from professional wrestling, mm-hmm. that Rock and then the Rock we have now, they ain't the same. And I listened to this morning. I got to go work out. Like, I got to. I've literally done everything I can to avoid working out today. But I'm getting so fat and so lazy that, like, it's starting to have an effect on me.
Yep.
Physically and mentally. And so I'm like, dude, yeah, go. You got a gym downstairs. Go freaking use it. So instead of going to the gym, I listen to the Rock and Joe Rogan talk about working out.
Because you can't do both at the same time.
Like, I really feel like less of a man. And then when he got to the point where he like all but denounced Joe Biden on the podcast, I was just like, my, how the tables have turned. Because you were all in that man's pocket when it was when it was time to vote. And now here you are. He literally walked back a statement about Biden. He said, they were just talking about just political thought in general. So it was like, you know, why can't, when we were growing up, Dan, even in our lives,
you could be a fan of either side. You could vote for either side. And no one cared. It wasn't until social media was being controlled by the powers that be, the robot Zuckerberg and all the twat bots at Twitter, that like we weren't allowed to have differences of opinions. You know what I'm saying? And we weren't allowed to think about different, you know, sides of the party. And or the two different parties, rather. And so they were talking about that. And I'm like, okay, here we go. Now we're having like a conversation where all the stuff that we were saying 4 years ago, we were like these right-wing extremists and all these crazy conspiracy theorists, like, just because we had like a different opinion. It's like, I say we as in the general, we, not necessarily you and myself. But just anybody who didn't just, you know, go along with the group thing. And then I remember the little videos and stuff of Barack endorsing Biden and all this stuff. And then now he literally walked a statement back. He goes, yeah, yeah, I got friends that support Biden. And then Joe was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You actually know people that actively support him? He's like, no, well, oh, wait. They're loyal to the party. Yeah. I was just like, ah, it's so funny because that was like the... It was like, do you actually know somebody who believes in what this guy's doing? He's not even a real human.
Yeah, the thing is, like, you compare your gas prices to mean tweets, and you're like, one of those didn't bother me that much.
Man, I'm telling you, like, okay, so my day, so much of my day is driving, mm-hmm. like, and so I don't drive for a living. That's the worst part.
Like, I don't get paid for it, but...
Yeah. 3 hours of the day, I'm on the road, taking my kids to different schools. We did school choice, so even if we did give in and put our children on, or some of our children on a bus, like, the bus isn't offered to all of them. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that being said, I got to go get in Carlin. I got to do, you know, that whole thing. So I burn up. So I don't get to drive my truck anymore. My wife drives my truck every day. This little old woman driving this big old truck. And then I'm over here driving this little minivan, which our minivan's dope. So I like it. Either way, so I'm driving 3 hours a day.
This sounds like, what's funny, this sounds like a Rock movie description.
It is.
Big guy driving the minivan with the kids.
That's right. Before you know it, I'll be a Tooth Fairy superhero. but so I like, and it's so funny because I'm filling that thing up, dude, every 3 days, mm-hmm. every 4 days. And between all the sports and stuff that the kids do and everything too, it's insane. And so, you know, I was like, yeah, I asked my wife, I said, hey, what do you drive? I said, what does the truck have? Does it have gas? She was like, yeah, it's got, you know, half a tank, whatever. I said, good. Don't drive the van. The van's got 30 miles on it. I gotta go and fill up. He's like, good God, that's another $40, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's Costco price, you know? So it'd be $60 at Cross Street.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but I was like,
SUV is like that. Say what? My wife's SUV is like what? $60 to $80 to fill up.
Dude, that's my truck. Mm-hmm. My truck, I drive a Tundra, mm-hmm. and it's like the 5.7 or whatever, Big Daddy, and it just friggin' guzzles gas. And so I said, that's why, because I do so much driving, that's why I drive the van 99% of the time. Which sucks because I bought the truck to drive it. I to enjoy it, but you just can't be in line. You can't do it, you know, and afford it, at least not in this current mortgage market. Also, thank you to the political parties. So I'm like, she's like, oh my God, it's another $40. And I was just like, I sit there every 3 days and go, were the mean tweets really that bad? Was horse face really that bad? Because I feel like I'm paying for this, like physically.
You're like, I wasn't even paying for Twitter back then. The mean tweets were free.
I was like, I mean, couldn't we have all just laughed at that a little bit? I mean, like, she really did kind of have a horse face. Rosie O'Donnell? I mean, that was funny.
That's the... Remember, we're both kind of like the bridge between what, millennial and Gen X. I think you're a few years older than me, so you might be on the cusp of Gen X, correct?
So when I was growing up, this is fun for the mm-hmm. listeners. We hadn't even actually done the intro to the show yet, so this is great stuff. When I was growing up, we were latchkey kids. We were coming off of Gen X, but we were not millennials. Mm-hmm. But millennials started after us. You know, they bumped it back somewhere a few years ago. The millennials are encompass 84, 85 now.
That's weird.
So, yeah. So I'm a pseudo millennial.
I think if you remember Home Alone coming out, you're not a millennial.
Yeah, I was in the theaters to see Home Alone. Mm-hmm. So But yeah, 1989 Ninja Turtles. I was there day one, baby.
Well, it's
I was four, but.
To say all that, like growing up at that time period, it wasn't cool to care about politics. Like MTV had to push real hard. I remember like they did the Rock the Vote crap and all that. They had to push so hard to try to get people to care. It was so hard that like P. Diddy was like, he was like, I don't care who you vote for. Just go register to go vote or something. And it's like,
I'm getting paid a lot of money for you to say this to you.
Yeah, like, even South Park did the, like, what does that even mean? Like, did the vote or die campaign or whatever.
Yeah. I remember that.
Like, it wasn't a thing. It was like something you actively made fun of. Like, the nihilism was so great. Like, you had shows like Daria and all that kind of stuff. And it was a culture shock for me when I went back to college at like 25 and I was like, all these kids care about politics for some reason.
Freaking nerds. So it's funny you mentioned Daria. My daughter's doing volleyball and her first practice, it was pretty much like when like the ball goes by and she's like, and like I said that to my wife, I was like, I got freaking Daria out of here. And she's like, what? I was like, what? So I pull my phone out.
Yeah, it just like, goes by.
This intro right here. And it's like all in like, it's like 4.3.
Yeah.
No, it's like 128 friggin' pixels.
It was cut with a Dragon Ball Z AMV with Eva, Evanescence playing in the background. It's like a 2001 YouTube video.
So funny. So yeah. So Dan, hey, let's actually kick this show off and do it correct. I don't have a drink today.
What show is this? What am I?
Well, technically, it's the Loot Bros, okay. But it's going to be just you and I hanging out. So hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome
to the Loot Bros podcast. I can't wait to make more of your gaming fans mad by not talking about games.
It's the best. Hey, this is Loot Bros podcast. I'm your host, Resident Daryl. I got my boy, the God Foe Master himself. I have Dan Evans in the house. I'm so glad that we're able to talk. So a couple weeks back, Dan, I know you've had a lot going on. You've had your head in the sand. You're really doing the, we'll talk about it in a minute. But so the Loot Bros, the way we used to do things was just got too unruly. It was like Hulkamania running wild. Everybody's going crazy. And so what I decided to do was what I like to call the podcast purge. So I killed the show so that I could just get rid of all of my co-hosts. Essentially, just nuke the building. I got rid of everybody. I said, all right, you know what, guys? I don't want to break your heart.
You're like an old world warlord. I put all my enemies in the temple and just burned it down.
Burned it down. That's right. I was like, oh, wait, what podcast do you do? Oh, wait, you're going to start a show there? No. Come do the show with me. And then set it all ablaze. And now what do you got? No, real talk, though. I did land the plane. Took a month to just collect myself and kind of figure out what the next leg of the Loot Roast podcast looks like. Also, with my schedule, it's just, and my listeners are like, dear God, dude, this is 4 weeks in a row. Quit saying that. But schedule got crazy and unruly, so I had to flip things. And now I just record the podcast in the morning. And my dog just made a weird fart noise.
I thought it was a cat.
So, well, it's a cat dog. That was her butt that sounded like a cat. That's the weirdest thing. but yes, so now we record in the morning. So what that allows me to do is to grab guys like you again, and jump on the show, grab our UK friends and do a lot more solo content. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. And it was awesome as I've already been able to set up and record podcasts with the old hosts on their days off. So it's actually working out equally as good as it was working recording at night, just without, you know, 4 hours at night waiting on people to show up on time and, you know, meeting with my family, not to disown me for sitting in my room talking about video games with a bunch of adults. So here we are. And I'm like, dude, I got to get Dan back on. I reached out to you. I know you guys have been teasing some stuff that's getting ready to drop. Mm-hmm. And this show will technically not go live for a week and a half from the time we're recording it. So you have time. You can divulge and say whatever you want here. And that won't spoil anything that you're getting ready to do. Because next, you know, Monday's episode is already primed and ready to go, and this will go live the following Monday. So this will be the future. It is very possible that nuclear war will break out, and we'll all be dead before this actually goes live. The rapture could take place. We could all be, dining, whining and dining with the Lord. What is the other, you know, different takes on the end of the world? We could be that.
Yeah, asteroid. pick one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, like, so this whole, like, Palestine and Israel thing's been, like, super hot and heated lately. I mean, it is very possible that, you know, they could have nuked each other. Then China got involved. Russia came in like a wrecking ball. And we could be the new Canada by the time this goes live. We don't know.
What happens to Canada? Canada is Mexico now.
So there's like Northern Canada, which is like cold Canada, you know, the regular one. Then there's like Middle Canada, and then Mexico would be Southern Canada.
So, hey man, you're gonna get shot.
We don't know. I mean,
you're gonna get shot in Southern Canada.
all that gang
violence in Southern Canada.
But instead of when the Southern Canadian cartel goes to smuggle their drugs, they're like, sorry, eh?
Yeah, but her emails meme hasn't aged well.
So yeah, for all we know, you know, we I don't know if you're up to speed on the Pandaverse, we could have entered into the Pandaverse.
Oh, yeah.
I could be a black female.
Yeah, I could be a diverse woman of color.
Yeah, I could be the first podcast, Loot Bros podcast of color.
The Loot Brothers, put a chick in it, make it lame.
Kathleen Kennedy's going to get me.
She's going to get you.
She's going to get me.
I haven't watched South Park in 15, 16, 18 years, and that had me in stitches.
Yeah, that one had me rolling.
Kathleen Kennedy's going to get me.
I love, my favorite part was it's the stupid little things always, like where he's like pinching people and saying, "She's gonna get you. She's gonna get you." Like,
it's so dumb. So I did I was a guest host on the Hunter Houston ESG podcast. That's my buddy Thomas. That's his podcast for Mad Men.
Oh yeah,
and dude, he's a wild character. Thomas is one of a kind. You ever heard that RVD song? It's like, one of a kind. No. Like every time Thomas comes around, that's it's like Rob Van Dam, man. He's like, you never know what's going to come out of this dude's mouth.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because, you know, a couple months before this whole Pandaverse thing came out, he was on the show and this dude just goes, you know what? F Kathleen Kennedy for ruining Indiana Jones. You know what? And F Kathleen Kennedy, I hope she dies. I hope she dies and rots in hell and all this whole this stuff, dude. I was just like, bruh. Like, he was like ahead of the curve, and then the Pandaverse drops and was like, Kathleen Kennedy's gonna get you. Thomas is waking up in a cold sweat. He's like,
there's so much with that because, like, the hate for her started like a couple of years ago out of nowhere. And people thought it was like, oh, it was like all made up. But it's like, man, I think when like it's that targeted and like that precise, it's probably correct. And then like she started wearing like the Forces female shirts and all that. And it's like, oh, yeah, it is. It's clearly her fault.
Yes, 100%. 100%. And he's like, I was a guest on his show, and he went off on a little rant about the thing. And I was like, man, I hadn't watched it. I hadn't watched South Park in so long. Like, I was having a conversation with one of our listeners, shout out Jared, and he's a big South Park fan. And he's always talking to me about South Park stuff, or I say always, but regular enough to where when I think about Jared, I think about butt stuff in South Park. Like, those are the two things that come to my mind whenever Jared is in the conversation. So shout out Jared. He makes all of our funny memes. We called him Dr. Deuce on the show.
He's funny,
did all the poetry. So a freaking hilarious guy. He's always trolled us. And so, anyway, so we would talk about South Park occasionally. He would just kind of go on and off about it. And he was like, dude, you really got to check out some of the other stuff. And I was having a conversation with him last night, as a matter of fact. And I said, dude, South Park is genius. Genius level comedy. But it's so bathed in just vulgarity that, like, it turns me off. It's like, ha, that's really funny. But also, like so many F words. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just... It's for me, I just bounced off of it. And then this Pandaverse, I heard about it. I was like, people were talking about it. Thomas was talking about it. I was like, okay. What really sold me on it was Joe Rogan. I was watching Joe Rogan one morning, getting stuff kind of going for the day. And he had this chick on, and I don't even know who she was, but I saw a clip pop up and they were talking about it. And they were just like, dude, they nailed it. They nailed it. And then they had the little skit where Kathleen Kennedy's going to get you. And I was like, okay, I'm in. So I actually told my wife, I was like, hey, I know this is going to sound kind of weird. I was like, well, we should watch the South Park thing together. And like, this woman just like binges Love Island, right? Yeah. She's all about trash reality TV. And the face she gave me, the look of disgust when I suggested we would watch South Park together, I was like, we ain't there yet. So I watched it by myself and I was in stitches. Like, it was so freaking funny, man. They just nailed it. And then, like, the whole idea of the handyman, like, they're the billionaires and they're racing rockets across outer space. Like, all this money. And he's like, Randy, the oven door stuff, I'm working on it.
That to me is the funniest part because I have said that so many times. It's like, it's been like a 4-week project to like put up a shelf and like, I'm working.
Dude, my wife's like, we got their floors replaced upstairs. And to save money, I was like, don't put down the shoe mold. That's like $2,000. Mm-hmm. I got to do the shoe mold myself. You guys level and lay down the floor. And they can have that done in 2 weekends.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a year and I still hadn't finished it. I've got like certain rooms done. And she's like, babe, I really want shoe mold. I'm like, I'm working on it.
It took me a year to finish the fence in my backyard because like I'd be like, okay, I got to go dig through red clay. I got did like 4 feet in that. Give me like 3 hours.
Yep. She's like, babe, I'm working on it. Can't you see it, Brandy? I'm working on it right now. When he was doing that, yeah. I was like, and he's like arguing with the handyman. I'm over here on YouTube trying to figure out how to do something. And then my wife, her dad can do anything, can build anything. Just if you can make it with your hands, he can do it. And so like coming into our marriage, she just had that expectation of like, oh, you have a penis, you can build things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, well, joke's on you about both. So I was like, hey, I everything I know how to do, I've had to learn myself. I've had to teach mm-hmm. myself or try to figure it out. So, my dad didn't build a freaking thing. My dad ain't even put together an IKEA shelf in front of me before. You know, like I've never even seen my dad with a screwdriver before. Like, so I'll go one step further. My dad didn't even like to lock the door in the house because if he get my keys out. I just like this never nothing. My granddad, I ain't never seen that man build anything, but he had so much money. He's like, people build.
He ain't never built a boat that was seaworthy.
That's right. So. My thing is like what I know how to do, I've had to learn. So, I mean, I'm working on it. It's so accurate because mm-hmm. right, I might be learning how to do it. I might be on YouTube. I might have done broke the project. And so that whole scene was just so funny.
Yep. It was, and it was so accurate too. And of course, I mean, South Park always hits the nail on the head. The only thing is, I think they pulled some punches on Kathleen at the end. Like, it wasn't her fault. It was evil Cartman. But like, it's clearly this woman's fault. We all know it. And everything showing it, like the Marvels bombed, which who was going to go see that? Nobody. Like, it was
nobody.
It looked worse than The Flash, which is hard to do.
What's crazy is that, like, okay, that's a whole, like, yeah, my thoughts of bringing you on wasn't to have this social political commentary conversation, but seems as how we're there and it's fun. We'll lean into it. The fact that, okay, superhero movies right now
mm-hmm.
in a lull. Okay, for starters, Marvel, you guys had the perfect crescendo with Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
And although that the Doctor Strange movie was kind of cool, and the Spider-Man movie with all the Spider-Man in it, that was kind of cool. Like, those were standalone films that didn't carry any kind of significant arc. And mm-hmm. the fact that they were trying to, as a matter of fact, the Spider-Man movie was cool in spite of itself because the story and the dialogue and the entire first quarter of the movie was absolute hot garbage. The fact that you got drunken Doctor Strange, who opened up a portal so that hyper dramatic, super annoying freaking, Tom Holland, like, Doctor Strange, it's Mr. Stark, I got a girlfriend. And he just, like, the whole way that the whole thing happened was mm-hmm. so stupid.
That was my complaint from day one of the trailer. I was like, why is it Spider-Man and Doctor Strange's fault? That doesn't make any sense for either of these characters. And they tried to tie it in with, oh, this one hasn't learned responsibility. It's like, how did he get this far in life and he hasn't learned basic responsibility? Like, well, he's been Spider-Man for, like, 5 years now.
Yeah, and he's like the whole idea with him and looking up to Tony as his father figure thing. I've always thought that was annoying. Mm-hmm. And like when I think Tom Holland, I'll always think, you know, Mr. Stark, Mr. Stark. I hate it. I was like, Cartman wakes up at night with Kathleen Kennedy trying to get him. I'm like, freaking
Mr. Stark.
Tom Holland's going to get me. It's just, I hate it so bad. I'm not a Tom Holland fan at all. And so, like, I thought that movie was good in spite of itself, because I thought that movie started off like really, really rubbish, as my friends in the UK would say. It was absolutely garbage. And then it gets cool, but it gets cool because the Tobey Maguire arc finishes.
Yeah.
Because the Andrew Garfield arc finishes. Like, they brought everything in, they made it relevant, which was mind-blowing that they were able to do that. Because I was like, man, these things really were hamstrung by studio decisions and really stupid crap. And they were like, oh, no, we landed the plane. Boom, we landed the plane. So that was cool. But Marvel could have stopped. They could have completely pivoted and done something different. And because the Infinity War and Endgame ended so strong, in my opinion, everything since then has been like a judder. Like, we want to do something, but we can't. Oh, we want to do something, but we can't. Yep. It does nothing.
They want Avengers 2.0, but nobody cares. Like, nobody cares.
People are burnt out.
Yep.
There's too many shows, too many movies.
They should have stopped.
Just like in wrestling.
They should have stopped, pulled back, waited a few years, and then done the X-Men.
Yep.
Or just mutants. All you have to do is say, the stones have never been used in an isolated place this many times before. It's caused a mutation. That's all you have to do.
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. It was that simple. That simple. Or when the friggin' portal opened and the entire army of people came through, it's like, oh, by the way, the mutants are here.
Yep.
Like, how? We can explore that next week.
Or if you really, X-Men, like, you know, and you know how great it you could have been to, like, Tony Stark's dead. To pay respect to all of that, that's when you do, like, Fantastic Four. It's basically the idea of Doctor Doom. Like, Doctor Doom is a dark Tony Stark. Like, you can start doing that kind of stuff if you want to tie it all together. But they're just not creative, man. They're dumb. Like,
Tom Holland's like, hey, dark Mr. Stark, dark Mr. Stark.
Everything.
Yeah, dude.
Everything that made that Spider-Man movie bearable came from the other Spider-Man movies.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. I 1,000% agree. So now here we are. And then and they start planting the seeds, right? Like, socially and cinematically. So, like, when they had that whole scene where all the women, you got this giant army of all these things happening. Yeah. Here's all the women superheroes.
Somehow they all lined up together.
Somehow they all landed together. Let's have this slow motion.
Yeah. They all synced up.
Yeah. It's like they cycle together. It's, you ever watch MXC?
Yep.
Most Extreme Elimination. We intend to be successful. And then it's just like they all get together and they do their thing. Yeah. It's like, okay, cool. And it's like, and I think that, okay, as a girl dad, hashtag girl dad,
I think that kind
of stuff is cool.
Yeah.
You know, because I love the idea that there's strong female characters for my daughter to latch onto. That, you know what I'm saying? So she's not latching onto the sleazy, you know what I'm saying, hoe bag.
Yeah, you know, everywhere else.
I want good writing for my daughter. I'm not like some freaking woman hater who says, you know, barefoot and pregnant. You know what I'm saying?
No, I am.
Like, I don't disagree with. I'm just, my thing is this. As for my daughter, I want that stuff to exist. You know what I'm saying? For a comic book enthusiast, someone who enjoys these characters, I want it to exist. So don't get me wrong. I'm not hating, but it was just kind of like, they're going to get you. It was like you could see it.
Yeah.
You could see it. And it was obvious. It was eye-rolling and cringy. And in the theater, it was almost like multiple people had just kind of called it out. Like, And then it's like, okay. So they kind of plant the seed cinematically. But then off camera, you got all these freaking hard left whack jobs talking about how Phase 19 is going to be all LGBTQ trans, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to have furries in the Iron Man suit. Like, it was just, they were just saying all the things, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
Iron Man suit.
Yeah. We're going to have the iron he-hims, the she-shims, you know what I'm saying?
Iron like, they.
Yes, yes. Yeah, just, dude, Iron Z and Iron Zay and all that crap. And the thing is this, is like, okay, you cannot disassociate the art and the craft and this everything that's going on, you know what I'm saying, with the timepiece, right? You can't. Yeah. So, like, the reason why, like, men look the way they did in 80s action movies is because that's what the depiction of a man was back then, right? So, like, when you look at it now, it's like I look on that time fondly because men were freaking macho and strong, and they were always the savior type. And it's just like, look at that. These dudes were Greek gods. And it was like, yes. You know what I'm saying? But that was a time and place thing. That's not, that's not always what. So I use that as a parallel for now. Like, now things are different. They are diverse. They are, you know, inclusive. They are, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. There's something for everybody. I get all that. But when you market your material and you lead with the identity politics, okay? Mm-hmm. It leaves an imprint on there. In the same way, it would be if we came out and said, all the women in the MCU from this point on are going to be played by Baywatch supermodels, and they're nice. All going to be barefoot, and they're all going to be pregnant.
In kitchens.
And all the men are going to be WWE superstars, because that's what a man looks like. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, you leave a stain, an imprint on it. So you have, here we are showing you the new direction, okay? And then now we're telling you, because you got people like Brie Larson going out there and saying, yes, we're going to have gay superheroes running the Avengers and all this stuff. Like, I am personally sacrificing my vagina for this cause. Like, it was going out there and just saying all the stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a point to all this. So then you think about who brought you to the dance in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't all of them that made the MCU popular. It wasn't them that made Marvel popular. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It was us. You know? So when you sit there and you push, hey, this is the new direction. Okay. This is who we're appealing to. This is who we're, for lack of a better term, pandering to. Okay. Because this is the panderverse. Right. Then you go, hey, all of you who don't like it, and then they say this in their marketing, they say this on their tweets, they say this on their Facebooks, and they in their YouTube videos, and in their interviews, and when they do their tours, their press tours, they say these things. Like, if you don't like it, you're a nist. Okay. And then they go, well, wait a minute, why didn't anybody show up to our movie, Dan? Look at all of the things that we gave them.
Yeah.
You know? And it's kind of like, well, of course no one came to your movie, because you led with the people who were kind of combating and pushing. I'm not saying it's always necessarily a bad thing either, but it's like, this was the vision, and this was the cause we attached ourselves to, we sold out to. And sure, probably somewhere down there is a decent movie or some decent actors, but you tie the push and the agenda for that's kind of a trigger word these days, but like, you understand what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
And then also the backbiting and the combative nature of on the internets. And then it's like, now you tie all that in with this current influx of just bad writing, just movie after movie, concept after concept, just being not good, not creative, not new. And you come off the heels of an epic 18 movie story arc that was just unprecedented. Mm-hmm. It's the perfect storm for your entire next leg to be a disaster. And then they go, huh, Dan, I don't know why anyone didn't come to see our movie. why don't they like this? Look at all the boxes we checked.
And the thing is, like, to fix that wouldn't have been hard. Like, if you guys wanted, and there's nothing wrong with like female-led stuff. I mean, 90% of everything we do in the Godfo universe is use probably female-led, because to me, female characters are like more fun to write in our universe.
You guys just like drawing boobies. We get it.
Yeah, that's what we're known for. We're the cheesecake guys. Yeah. And all of indie comics, it's us. But all you had to do is what they failed with Ironheart. But there's two things with that. Like, first of all, in the 80s, a lot of that was, they at least had an idea, which is the epitome of male and female. Like, they pushed everything to its biggest limit, like the biggest dudes, the curviest, you know, ladies and stuff like that.
Right.
But even before that, like, in Alien was female-led. And the whole point of that was that appeal was, let's do the ultimate, basically, mother story. It's basically Alien 1 and 2, Alien 3, nobody counts. But Ripley survived because she was more feminine, because she followed protocol, because she had a motherly instinct and she was afraid. You know, she didn't go in guns blazing, and that's how she survived. And then Alien 2, it was her mother instinct. And she told even, like, was it Ramirez? I always forget her name, the female space marine that was part of the Aliens crew. So they even had, mm-hmm. like, a masculinized female, and even she got wrecked because it was like, you can't brute force your way out of this. This creature destroys mankind. You know what I mean? And they did this, and that's why Predator was so good, too. Yeah, these super masculine ultra, and it's awesome, but it's a deconstruction the right way because they overdid it. It's like, okay, we get the most masculine dudes, but they're fighting something that is so powerful they can't muscle their way through it, so they had to revert to, like, he still was a man overcoming it using primal instincts and stuff. But all that to say, like, you should have tied everything in with Captain, because the Avengers were built around two dynamics, Captain America and Iron Man. And those were the two, of course, like, Iron Man learns to make the sacrifice. Captain America learns that, you know, to interact with the world, basically. And, yeah, anyway, so you could have picked it up from there with, you know, the Avengers are broken up. They're either too old, aged out, or they're just retiring because they just saved the Earth. And, like, you could have had Hawkeye be injured, all this kind of stuff. And then you could have young people or younger or female people pick it up from there. They just have to earn it. You have to start an arc. And they tried it with Ironheart, I guess, in the Wakanda movie. And it was just, her art was awful. Captain Marvel's art was awful. These aren't people. These are, like, these are stand-ins. These are perfect human individuals. These are perfect humans that have no arc and know nothing whatsoever. And it's like, man, it's not because they're female. It's like, it's because you guys are just bad writers.
Yeah. I mean, and I mean, there, and I look at some of the characters that have come in previous films. And I think that, like, man, just so well done. Like, if you look at the X-Men movies overall, mm-hmm. not great, but Jean Grey from start to finish
mm-hmm.
was awesome. Mm-hmm. Was well written. I think they had the perfect character to play Storm and Halle Berry.
Oh, Halle Berry was great as Storm.
Right. But then when they did the young, you know, characters, it was terrible.
Yeah, and Young Mutants is one of my favorite of those movies, even though it's bad, because it is bad. but it had the potential to be fantastic if they'd have made the bad guy. I think the bad guy should have been, if they're going to do the Demon Bear arc, which is what they did, they should have done it better, or they could have done Shadow King. They could have done anything, yeah. And, like, that's the problem, is it had so much potential, they wasted almost all of it, and there's so many parts of that movie that was like, what's the cringiest way we could do this? And then they chose that. To me, it's a cult classic by accident, because I love it, even though it's bad.
See, and there's lots of stuff out there like that. As a matter of fact, I picked up a stack of movies, they're back here, this week, that I'm like, I'm going to watch them, but I'm going to watch them with the knowing that they're going to be cringe, that they're going to be almost not taking themselves super serious. Like, you ever watch RoboCop 3?
Oh, yeah.
It's terrible. I bought that this week.
Yeah, pull it up.
So, okay, so check it out. So I got this one, Bone Hill Road, some werewolf film. God only knows what the freak this even is. That's
the cover is cool.
I don't like it. It looks awesome. Yep. So I picked that up, but that's a B movie all day long. You ever seen the Critters films?
Mm-hmm.
Dude,
they just made a new one.
The first one, I've never seen Critters Attack. I don't even know what year this came out. So I'm excited about this one, but, like, yeah, it's like, wait a second. Gremlins was a hit. What if we did Gremlins from space and they just eat people on farms? Dude, the first movie is so cringe, but it's amazing. It's like almost deliberately bad. So I'm gonna try this one out. Of course, RoboCop 3.
Mm-hmm.
I picked all these up for like $4. And here's two movies that should have been good, but they were terrible. Max Payne and Hitman.
Oh, the Max Payne game I absolutely loved.
Oh, the game's great. So, but I picked this up. This was dope right here. So this is an unintentional pickup segment for the show. I didn't invite Dan on for us to share pickups, but have you ever seen the Marvel Knights animated X-Men films and stuff like that?
Are they good?
They're really good. So it's essentially like a motion comic.
Oh, that's cool.
And so while I was doing my emails and my, I'm doing this like, work is so slow right now. So I do like an email campaign kind of thing every day where I'm contacting all borrowers, contacting realtors, just trying to keep like points of contact. So I call them some days, I text them some days, I email them some days. So what I had going on earlier is I'm watching on one of my monitors, Wolverine Weapon X. And it's Tomorrow Dies Today.
Nice.
And it's like Wolverine versus Deathlok.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a bunch of Deathloks from the future. And they're coming back to assassinate characters. Like Terminator. It's basically Terminator, but in the Weapon X universe.
Oh, that's
and it's
cool.
Wolverine teamed up with Captain America, Nightcrawler, and a couple other people. Is friggin' dope. Cutting heads off, cutting arms off. Wolverine gets his intestines blown out by a Deathlok a couple times.
Yeah.
Like, freaking dope stuff. Dope stuff. And then I picked up this Predator triple pack. I think I paid 25 cents for this. It was Predator 1,
nice.
Which I own in every format there is. Predator 2, and then Predators, which Predators.
That one's pretty good. Yeah.
The main actor makes it really bad. I think he's terrible.
Yeah, Adrian Brody.
Yeah.
He's not a tough guy. He tries to play those kind of roles, and it's like, okay, man.
It's not working. Can you be a scientist or something?
It's like when Tom Holland was in The Devil All the Time, and it's like, that's a good movie.
Or in Spider-Man. Mr. Stark. Anyways, so I say all of those things to say I am no stranger to B-movies, B-games. Like, a lot, what I've been talking about on the podcast a lot lately is just these lesser-known B-style video games that are... They have a vision. They're trying to execute the vision. It's not always done well. Sometimes it's got some jank to it, and I am all in on that. But when you have $1 billion in production and marketing, and it's just not good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I can't take it serious. Like there's some stuff where I go into it knowing it's not going to be a Marvel film. And then when you have a Marvel film, and we'll use DC as an example, because everybody, like, people get super butthurt when you talk about Marvel, but they are all about trouncing on some DC. And then you and I get together and we like love DC stuff, love our DC properties. But then, like, dude, The Flash wasn't great.
No,
it was a good first watch. I watched the second time and I was like, okay, the humor is gone because like the jokes were only funny once.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they weren't funny anymore, they went from funny to annoying. So Barry Allen in the film is super annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Ezra Miller as Barry Allen is just annoying in general. And like they just hyper focus on it. Then they take, okay, here's annoying Barry Allen, but like, oh, we'll go one step further. Here's a more annoying version of Barry Allen.
I'm glad that exists because it does prove a lot of things about art, which is you have Snyder's vision versus when anyone else does it. And we know when anyone else does it, that's made by committee. We know the execs are making that film. And it shows you it's not the characters that sell properties. It is not properties that sell properties. It is artists, because that dude...
100%.
Did those so much better. Even if you don't like Snyder, you compare those two objectively and the Justice League objectively, and you're like, okay, this is better than this because one guy did it better. And that's what the B-movie stuff is. It's so much better to have a small team or a guy that has a vision and it's finished and maybe it's not perfect versus like something, a $1 billion thing made by committee that's just trash.
You know what the next step is? And I think Marvel movies will be some of the first ones to do it. We're going to have full-on AI Marvel movies.
No doubt.
AI just freaking spits it out. It's like, because they don't, I don't think the executives get it, you know, like, and we're seeing that more now than ever, because, and especially with when, and Snyder's not absolved of it. He loves a green screen, but like, it just seems
at least he does it well.
And I agree. But it's like the more green screen we get, the more CG we get, the less human we get, at your core, you've got to have a great story. You got to have great characters written, because everything else is coming in flat and it's a little more artificial. Like when you go to look at an old horror movie or something that everything was like practical effects, it hits different.
Oh, it's so much better
than a bunch of CGI stuff. So I don't know. I feel like, man, rounding this whole conversation back to the Panderverse,
mm-hmm.
they freaking nailed it, dude. They nailed it. So much of what we're getting today is lazy. And it's just like, I don't know how you don't notice that people aren't, you know, because like when the casual popcorn fans aren't going to see Marvel movies anymore, like you got a problem, bro.
Well, that's all that matters is what the average person does. And that's what we've argued from indie comics and all of our stuff, because like, look, we make indie comics, we make indie films and all stuff. We're never going to have a big production company. And like, but there's ways to do that. And the thing is, and you come from music too. And that's the thing that people from music knew from day one, from watching stuff. It's, you know, the bands that are fake. You know, the guys mm-hmm. that rely on auto-tune, that rely on quantization and samples, not because they think it's cool, because they can't do it. And there's a difference. But like, and there's, you just see it. You know, because everything that happens in art happens in music first, because music is the more primal, and it was the first art they could make the most money out of first and consistently. So every business, every art that is affected, it's affected in music first. So it's like when AI art came out, I was like, welcome to the synthesizer, guys. We've been dealing with this for like 30 years. You know, it's like
that meme where the dude's got the noose on and he looks up. Yeah, first time.
but that's the thing is, like, you know those bands, and like fans know, and that's all that matters. And is that the average man is the average fan. It's not some bot on Twitter. It's not some shill on Twitter that has like the fact that they have to keep you have to keep praising the rise of Skywalker, The Last Jedi over and over and over to stop it, because people know it sucks. And it's like, you know, kind of going back to what we were talking about, it's like, you know why gas prices are high. And the fact that there's so much lie and apparatus consistently pumping towards you, that tells you, like, man, it's like the Shire, man. Go into the Shire, smoke some tobacco, eat like 17 breakfasts. That's reality. It's not like the crap that's being shown at you, you know?
Wild. Freaking wild. So it's so funny, because I was listening. I've been listening to... It's weird. I've never been a Joe Rogan person, but I've been listening a lot more Rogan lately. Mm-hmm. And they were just talking about Twitter farm bots and paid for people going online and arguing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, one of the heads of DC just got busted for doing that, fake Twitter accounts and going online and arguing on behalf of their properties and stuff. And it's like, the fans see through that nonsense, dude. And even when we don't know that we know, we know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all the, I liken this back to, again, to the political stuff that we were joking about earlier. Is my wife and I, I'll say something that I've been reading up on the internet or something I've listened to some people talk about for a while, and she'll go, wow, you're a friggin' conspiracy theorist. And then like 6 months to a year later, it's out. Like, oh, this is just like commonly accepted now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah. But when I said it, I had a tinfoil hat on. You know, and it's like, I'll even dial it back to a conversation I was having today. One of the old Loot Bros co-hosts sent me a TikTok, and I don't have the TikTok app. Because when they reverse engineered TikTok, they found out it was like
Chinese
the Chinese spyware and all that stuff. And I was like, I just don't need that in my life. Not to mention, I don't like short form annoying content. Mm-hmm. I didn't like Vines.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I don't care for reels. Unless it's a wrestling reel. I've been watching some of those lately.
Now, if it's funny, if it's some guy getting hit in the junk, I'll watch it all day.
But for the most part, I don't consume that type of content. So this is not for me, okay? So it's easy for me to go, well, China. I'm not messing with it because China. But so we were having a conversation and listening to my friends from across the aisle talk about how, like, commonly accepted that everyone is now with how social media is spying on you and you're collecting your data and all that stuff. And it's like, I'm so glad we can have this conversation openly, because 2 years ago, mm-hmm. 4 years ago, when I would say that, not saying these people specifically, but people that agree with them, you know what I'm saying, would have pushed back And it's like, no, that's not happening.
Yeah.
That's not happening. Zuckerberg not doing that to me. And I'm just like, God dog, bro. It's just the little things like that when it comes full circle. It's like, I mean.
Well, and TikTok is particularly dangerous. And this is what all social media is. And it's going to be like, did you read, for your listeners, did any of you ever read Ender's Game?
I've never read it, but I've heard it talked about before.
Got it over there. It's like this thick. It was written like as a back when kids books were, you know, from age 8 to 45, because kids could read stuff and not be protected. Yeah. And to give a summary, a kid named Ender, he's a child genius bred by the government, but so is pretty much every kid, because they're trying to breed military geniuses for an alien war.
Are they opposite of eugenic?
Yeah, right. His older brother and his older sister were also candidates, but they failed because of their temperament. But as he gets taken off, there's a B storyline with the two of them where they get it in their head. They're going to go into, this was written in like 1990, they're going to get into what is like the proto-internet. And they hide their names because they're minors, but because they're geniuses, they start like a 30-year plan to get the brother elected as like the president. And they do it by forming two different opposing profiles that both make good points. And so they both get huge followers over like 30 years, and then they let one of them win. And
like wrestling.
Yeah, pretty much. But like that's all like TikTok and all that kind of stuff is. Like it's psychological warfare. It's like you don't have to convince people of anything. You just have to basically keep them confused and keep them angry and keep them arguing. Mm-hmm. They don't have to believe anything. Like that's the thing with like Soviet and a subversion. That's the whole point. Like it's just that you just don't get them on truth. Like don't get them focused on anything. As long as they're distracted all the time, you can do anything to them because they collapse.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. Absolutely. So it's so funny. You mentioned that book and like back, you just made that comment, that passing comment about when kids could just read whatever. It was fine.
Oh yeah.
We just had to sign a waiver for my son to be able to read To Kill a Mockingbird in school.
Is he going to, they don't kill any mockingbirds.
No, but they use the N word in it. And now you have to sign a waiver about to that. Read that.
Well, it's used to show how stupid the word is being used and how wrong it is. It's not being used gratuitously.
Yeah. Pretty interesting that just that's the times we're at. We're just like, I'm even surprised that book's not completely censored out.
Have they seen a Call of Duty lobby?
No, they hadn't. So, okay. So this has been, you know what, Dan, you know why I love talking with you? And it's been a while. I can tell it's been a while because we just went to 17 different places in one breath. Like, almost a coherent thought from start to finish, but you and I just tackled a lot of different things. I freaking love talking to you for that reason right there. There are a few people in this world that I can riff with so organically, and we can go anywhere, and it not we feel just, weird
we just,
at all.
We just landed at the same dot on the spectrum by chance. That's all.
There you go.
Some people are a little over here. Some people over here.
That's awesome.
I'm not collecting like beetle shells yet.
There you go. Well, we got two things we got to cover real fast before you got to get back out of here and get back to work, because I think we're running out of time for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of them I'll do solo. The gaming stuff, I'll do all that on my own. So the other is, you know, what exactly you guys are cooking over at Godfo Universe. So I want an update on what's going on.
Well, as of today, which is like before, you know, this is being recorded before it's played, which is fine. We officially launched our Indiegogo campaign sign-up page. So it's like we go live with the actual campaign December 1st, 12/1. So everybody remember that, December 1st. Don't buy presents for your family. Buy our book instead for yourself, or buy it for them.
Right.
So it's called Apollyon 20XX, Apollyon. If you don't know it, just search, try to spell it, and it'll autocorrect for you. Apollyon 20XX, and then the secondary title is Live Not by Lies, because it's volume one. It's a 150-page black and white graphic novel that is the start of the Godfo universe, which is a multimedia story taking place over various eras that you can read any of the stories by themselves, or you can read it as a collection, and it will follow the same narrative. And it's got a fantastic artwork by Josh Adams, which the fans of the Loop Bros should know. He's done a lot of y'all's work, and he's a just I can't speak highly enough of him, to be honest. He works at a super pro level. He gets more stuff done than the pros do.
Yeah, he does.
And ridiculous. What's about global elites, old families trying to build their own god to take over the earth. And they do that trying to use an alien metal called Impera metal. And they do that. They've experimented on people and created augments because they need a human host. And several of these augments break out, and it's kind of like X-Men, but a dystopian version, and trying to stop this anime-like apocalypse from happening.
There you go.
Yep. So, yeah, December 1st, it's live on Indiegogo exclusively. You can go to Indiegogo and find us, or you can search Apollyon20XX, Indiegogo, or you can go to godfouluniverse.com, sign up to our mailing list. We'll get you connected that way. Or you can click on, as soon as you're on the homepage, godfouluniverse.com, it has the cover. You can click on that. It'll take you to the Indiegogo sign-up page. And that's start of what we're doing.
That's awesome. So what made you decide to choose Indiegogo opposed to like a Kickstarter?
Indiegogo does not require you to make an account. Kickstarter does. If you want to back anything on Kickstarter, you have to create an account. We knew that a lot of our fans and the other people, we wanted to be able to go to conventions and stuff, get people to just put in an email address and get in. Kickstarter, plus Kicks, quite frankly, and this is throwing shade at other indie comic, Kickstarter is like a booby comic campaign. Like, everything there is just cheesecake, and we're like, it's lame.
Is that really what it's gotten to? I've never just explored the indie comics on there. Typically, if I buy something off Kickstarter, I'd be kind of led there by someone I know.
Yeah.
So that's where you go buy a booby comic.
Yeah, and we're not fans of that. I mean, I'm not going to rip anybody for making money, I guess, but it's just weird. But we've got already got a short film up, Apollyon 20XX, The Tithe. We've got several more. We're working with Colin Finlayson, who is an unbelievably talented photographer and cinematographer. Does everything from his cell phone because he's just that cool and that minimalist. We've got at least two more movies, I think, coming out. Short films, I should say, coming out this year. And then a big one we're hoping to do called Apollyon 20XX, The Holloman, which is, we hope to be like 20, 30 minutes and really kind of go and make it a bigger feature. You can go to godfouluniverse.com under comics, like the Apollyon 20XX era. We have the Lamentations. We'll have the Revelations of it. These are kind of companion pieces that are like 80 and 60 pages. We've got a blog, The Road to Apollyon 20XX. We've got a book club we just started. You can join through our Discord, and that's just Godfoul Universe, or you can join our mailing list, and I'll get you on everything there too. We're trying to make something like a dedicated site that people can go to that isn't just periphery stuff or people slinging stuff. Like, we want people to be involved in this big, huge, awesome, like, comic, video game, film, prose, novel process that's just a huge world, you know?
Heck yeah, dude. Sounds like you guys are really putting in some work and y'all are really cooking. So that's freaking awesome. So I'm super excited for you guys. Anytime that you guys post something, I go try to check it out, man. And I'm a big fan of you guys individually and of your work.
So I appreciate it. Likewise.
Excited. So I'll definitely post all of the links to everything here in the description, in the bio, and all that good stuff. And I will be peddling your stuff for sure. As a matter of fact, I got a drawer full of your comic books over here that I appreciate to return to you.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to do the convention together.
Yeah.
And then I didn't get to do the convention at all due to some last minute scheduling issues. So,
well, we got one in the same area in the spring. If you want to come out for that and just hang out and stuff, I'll get you and we can just.
I told Josh I'm going to pick a day when my kids go out on break, probably Christmas break, probably December time. Just go one day and try to grab you guys for lunch or something or for dinner one night and just, come to you guys and hang, because we used to travel so many times a year down past you guys, but we would never find things out smart enough to where I could just stop and see everyone.
Yeah.
It was always like, I got these good intentions, but then we get on the road. It's like, Yeah, I'm booking it like Kathleen Kennedy's going to get me.
She is, man. You're going to be a diverse woman of color next time I see you. This is Daryl.
Who's this? Oh, this is Cartman. Oh, okay. Okay.
So you guys are mad that Cartman is different?
No one thinks it's weird that Cartman's been replaced by a black woman? Oh, so funny. I love how they just were just like, oh, okay.
What's so funny, though, is that the diverse characters were almost funnier than the original characters. Like, they did it so well. Like, I could watch a whole season of that. I think Old South Park would have done this, and I think they should have. Old South Park would have left one character that way.
In the new universe.
And it probably would have been like Butters or something.
Or Kenny.
Yeah, or Kenny. And I think that's what they should have done. That's the only thing I would change, is they should have made that happen.
Well, you know how, now I think it was in the, I'm piecing together what I've heard of the South Park show. Mm-hmm. And then what I played in the game. So it wasn't Man Bear Pig, like a thing.
Yeah. Al Gore.
In the show. Yeah. And then he was in the game. So it could be that, you know, the Cartman, Kathleen Kennedy just stays around like Man Bear Pig.
Comes after him sometimes. Places from time to
time. So, yeah. So, hey, Dan, I appreciate your time, man. I would love to sit here and ramble on with you longer. I know you got to get back to work. I got to get back to work, too. But, hey, let's do this again. I'll eat up as much time as you can throw my way. Guys, if you're listening to this, go check out the Godfo stuff. You guys know that since the official announcement of Godfo becoming more than just a 10-year passion project for these gentlemen, that we have been pushing Godfo here in the group. So we definitely want to, you know, show up, show out, you know, and support you guys. And
I appreciate
you're doing cool stuff, man. Yeah. If your work sucked, we'd just be like, hey, you know, Godfo.
If it sucks, I want you guys to tell me to my face it does, and then I can just deal with it.
Look, well, I'm going to need you to take your book, all right? Take your main character, put a chick in it, make her gay. Lame. Yeah.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Hey, guys, this has been the Loop Bros Podcast. We'll catch you next week, and we're out of here. Oh,